Set adrift on memory, bliss of you.
Welcome back to That 590 Show. Joining us on the Belmont Automotive phone line is a longtime sports journalist in St. Louis. You can read him at stlsportspage.com and follow him on Twitter at Rob Raines. Rob, how are you?
I'm good, Matt. How are you?
Good. So, I mean, what are we going to talk about, man? There's nothing interesting going around this club today. What are you making of this big beef between Matheny and Molina? My opinion is that it's not just this incident. I think there's something deeper going on here. Am I right or wrong?
Well, we don't know. I mean, I think the only part of it that bothers me a little bit is it doesn't sound like there was much communication going on between the two of them. You know, I mean, I understand why Yachty says he wants to play. I understand why he says he doesn't like the manager saying he was tired. You know, but I also think that the manager is the one that makes the lineup, and I think, you know, Carson Kelly's here for a reason. He needs to play. And I know Yachty said, you know, that you know, he didn't have a beef with Kelly playing, but, yeah, to me...
You don't really believe him?
I kind of wondered about this, you know, when Molina signed the 3-year extension, you know, that we're going to have this problem probably more than once going forward here in the next 2 or 3 years, you know, because Carson Kelly's ready to play. And you know, if he's ready now, what's he going to be in 2 years from now? So you know, they're going to have a problem. They're going to have to sit down and figure it out. Maybe it's kind of good that it came to a head, you know, early on here so all the parties can get together and figure out, you know, how best to address this thing and how best to handle things going forward. It just doesn't sound like there was much communication between manager and the player, which is where I have probably the biggest problem with the whole thing.
So do you think, like, Molina sitting there going, okay, I remember back in 2004, I replaced a guy who was now managing the ball club, and now he's bringing in the guy that he's going to try to replace me with, and this is how he's reacting?
Yeah, that kind of bothers me a little bit. The one thing that I'm concerned about, and I don't know for sure because I think I wasn't in there when Yachty was talking to the media. I was working on some other stuff today, but so I don't know for sure whether this topic was addressed or not because I haven't read all the other, you know, people who were there comments. But I did notice last night that when he didn't play, Yachty was in the bullpen.
Yeah.
He was not in the dugout. Now, and I don't know, without asking the question, is that a normal situation when Yachty doesn't play? Is he normally in the bullpen or is he normally in the dugout? And I don't know the answer to that. So that was my only biggest question out of the whole thing was you know, what – you know, was that normal? If that's normal, fine. But if that was like Yachty protesting, you know, that I'm going to be, take my time out here and go out in the bullpen instead of being in the dugout, then that's a problem too.
Yeah, I don't think that's something that's normal because I think they would normally have Yachty on the bench, you know, just to kind of like maybe talk to the pitcher whenever he's coming off the field, you know, in case he kind of acts as another coach. And, I mean, they already have a bullpen catcher, and if they needed him to catch in the bullpen, it's not like he's two states away. You know, in between innings, just, you know, schlep on down to the bullpen and catch who's ever warming up. So I think there might be something to that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the other part of it that bothered me, the whole thing, was apparently there were some players who, and I saw, you know, people talking about the Instagram post. I didn't see it. But there were some people who said that the post was liked by some of the other players. I think Colton Wong and Tommy Pham were two that I had heard were, you know, had said that they, you know, clicked liked or whatever on the Molina post. And that's not right. That shouldn't happen.
Well, I mean, you hear that Mozeliak's always talking about how they need to change the culture in the clubhouse. They need to change the culture. And then you're just talking about how Yachty or Molina makes his Instagram post, and then you have other players on the team like it. And I think Tommy Pham, I think he's kind of been a canary in the coal mine the entire time. Back whenever Peralta was released, he said that, you know what, Peralta just showed up and did his job. He wasn't part of the chess club or the video game club or the ping pong club. Do you think that Matheny's kind of in real trouble here?
No, I don't, because I think the contract's going to prevent them from making a move there. Unless he just gets frustrated to the point that he says, I want out of here, which I don't see that happening yet. I mean, he signed for 3 more years, and that's an awful long time. But, you know, Cardinals traditionally do not, you know, make – hey, number one, they don't make changes like that during the season. I know we made a coaching change during the season, which they don't normally make too, but, you know, when a guy's signed for 3 more years as a manager, and I know it's not, you know, $10 million a year or whatever that a player might be making, but still, that's significant investment. I don't see this, you know, incident or whatever being something that is going to cause that to happen.
Well, yeah, I don't think Matheny's going to quit either. I just don't think it's in his DNA to quit. I don't think the man's a quitter, but I think that if you're going to change the culture in the clubhouse, how else are you going to do it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think you do it by changing players within the clubhouse. I mean, I think, you know, that leads to the second point of this, which is, you know, obviously the trading deadline coming up on Monday. And, you know, there are already a bunch of, you know, discussions going on with a bunch of different teams about a number of different players. So we'll see if, you know, what happens by Monday. That's the next thing to watch for.
Sticking with the trade deadline, I'm reading what you wrote on STLSportsPage.com, and you're saying that the Cardinals need to keep Lance Lynn. I'm assuming that if they're keeping Lance Lynn, you think they're going to be able to hold on to him and re-sign him?
No, but I think that they could get the draft pick out of it. And I think it depends. You know, I could see him trading Lynn very easily. I mean, I think the one thing is I kind of was just trying to be different a little bit when I wrote some of the things that I wrote there, so I don't write the same thing, you know, everybody else is writing. But I think it makes sense that, you know, and he's the one that says it, you know, he said we're four games out, I'm not going anywhere. But I think that, you know, Luke Weaver's start last night was important for them to gauge where he is in terms of his development, and is he ready to move into the rotation full time. And then I think, you know, I think they can afford to trade a starting pitcher, but, you know, of course, if it's not Lynn, then who? But I think there is enough demand now for Lynn being out there that I think if the Cardinals can wait, you know, past his start on Sunday and hope that he starts and pitches well on Sunday, then I think that there's a good chance on Monday that he gets moved. But it's just a question as to how, you know, what happens with Sonny Gray, what happens with Darvish. Is there enough of a market for Lynn after those guys get their futures decided that they can hold out and get a pretty good offer in return? That's what I think we're going to have to wait and see what happens.
And they may be able to get something out of one of those teams because, maybe they don't want to give up, like, what's going to take to get a Yu Darvish, or it's going to take a Sonny Gray. Maybe they'll be like, okay, we're going to get Lance Lynn. Okay, he's not going to be the staff ace, but he's a good enough pitcher that he's going to help us either, you know, get into the playoffs or extend a playoff run. Teams like the Dodgers who lost Clayton Kershaw, or now you're seeing what's going on in Boston and David Price. I'm not sure if he's really injured or if they're just keeping him off the field because they don't want the fans to boo him. That's a whole other different story. We think we got a mess here in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on in Boston's even worse. I don't know. I don't know who regressed that contract more, David Price or the Red Sox. But I mean,
yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, but the Cardinals could be, you know, one of those teams going to be like, hey, you know what? If you don't want to give up what it takes to get a Sonny Gray or a Yu Darvish, you know, give us a call and maybe what do we have to do to put you in this Lance Lynn today?
Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. And he's going to go there and pitch well. But I think my point being that if the Cardinals don't get that offer that they feel it's worth it, then there's no reason to dump
it sure.
for
yeah.
a lesser offer. You know, that's I guess what I'm trying to say.
You also say to trade Mike Leake and Trevor Rosenthal to the Nationals for prospects.
Yeah.
And I like that idea too, because Mike Leake, I mean, it's not a huge contract, but it's a healthy size contract. And Trevor Rosenthal, I just think that he's like one of those where maybe he'd be a better fit someplace else.
Well, here's the two things there. I mean, now, first thing people are going to say, well, at least he got no trade clause in his contract, which he does. So you'd have to get his permission to approve the trade. But remember, the Nationals made a very strong bid to sign him before he signed with the Cardinals. I mean, they were definitely in it. And he pitched for Dusty Baker for years in Cincinnati. So there's a relationship there that's already established. And the one thing I've been told by some of the people who follow the Nationals is that they're not necessarily, you know, they'll take a rental player if they have to, but their preference is to get a pitcher that they can control beyond this year. So there's Mike Leake sitting right there for you. So, you know, I haven't heard that name thrown about. I mean, the Nationals did have a scout here for his last start. Like I said, they were watching Lynn, too. So, you know, I was just trying to say, okay, you really want Trevor Rosenthal? What do you think about taking a leak, too?
Yeah.
Lynn? So, you know, I think that there's something that could happen there. I'm not predicting that it's going to happen.
It's a possibility.
You know,
and I like that.
Suggestions, yeah.
Yeah, I like that plan a lot, Rob, to be perfectly honest with you. I like that plan a lot. Here's another one. You have trade Randall Grichuk and Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham, I mean, right now, if you're going to get anything out of him, now would be the time to do it because no one's playing. I mean, he's playing the absolute best baseball he ever has in his entire life. And with Randall Grichuk, I think that we've already kind of seen what Randall Grichuk is, at least with the St. Louis Cardinals. I think he's kind of a 4A player, so I'm with you on that one too.
Well, I think the point there is that they've got too many outfielders. So somebody, whether you make a trade now or make a trade, you know, in the offseason, there's got to be some movement there because there's not enough spots for everybody to go around. And when you're committed to Fowler for four more years, which, you know, everybody now realizes was probably a mistake, and, you know, then you got Piscotty coming back who's got, you know, 4 or 5 year contract signed, even though it's a lot less money and is probably a movable player at some point still. you know, at least one outfield spot. Until I change the rules and say you play six outfielders instead of three, you know, what are you going to do with all the guys you got left? So, you know, you have other holes, you have other needs that you need to fill. And I think that, you know, use your depth in the outfield just like your depth in the young starting pitching rotation to kind of fill some of those holes.
The other one you have is trade at least one of the left-handed relievers. Which one do you think has the most value in a trade?
Well, probably Segrist, but I mean, that's probably the guy, you know, because Cecil's untradeable because of the contract. Zach Duke, you know, really has pitched, what, twice since he came back from Tommy John, so somebody's going to be taking a real flyer on him. The Cardinals will almost be giving him away, you know, and you know, maybe you get lucky with a prospect that they would trade, maybe not. Tyler Lyons, I think, probably has some value. He's out of options here, so, you know, I think that he could be a starter. I think he could be a reliever. I think he's kind of been an afterthought here for a lot of years, so maybe it's better for him to go and get a fresh start somewhere else. But I think the teams that if they're trying to trade for value and, you know, obviously get more in return would be Segrist, because he's you know, pitched better since he came off the DL. He's going to start costing you more money with arbitration next year and stuff. So I think they listen on all of those guys and just see what kind of offers are out there.
Could you see them doing something where they make a trade? Like, I'm not saying they're going to do all these trades, but they're going to maybe do a couple of them where they pick up prospects, maybe get someone that they know can be a reliever for the future, and then they get that middle of the order bat in the offseason. Do you think that is probably the most likely scenario?
The two things I think will be hardest of their two biggest needs, we talked about this before, are the middle of the order bat and the closer. And those are both the two toughest things to get right now because they're just not available. And when you have every team available in the winter, I think you're much more time to be able to take time and dissect possible moves and stuff like that. So, yes, I do think that both of those things are more wintertime goals than right now. But I don't think they're going to make any trades simply for the balance of this year. You know, I think if they make a trade, it's going to be with 2018 and 2019 in mind. You know, let's bring in a player here who's going to be here in the next 2 years that's going to help us at a spot where we need help.
Yeah, and I think that's a smart thing to do, because what's the point of just kind of winning just the division this year if you're not going to really be any different than what you are the year after that and the year after that?
Well, I kind of, you know, because I kind of look at this team like the Yankees last year, in the sense that, you know, the training deadline, they moved Andrew Miller, they moved Chapman, everybody said they were throwing in the towel. And they started playing all their kids, and all of a sudden their kids were pretty good.
Yeah.
And they played well. And I know they didn't get in the playoffs, but they got darn close. You know, and I think the Cardinals could do the same thing. I really do. I think they could trade. If I'm the Cardinals, I'm looking at trading whatever veterans really I've got on this team that I can trade. And I want to play the kids. I mean, we saw it last night. They had, you know, starting age of that lineup last night was 24.5 years of age. I can't tell you the last time probably the Cardinals started a starting lineup that had that kind of youth in it.
Yeah,
and all these guys are good. I mean, they're not just like, you know, young players. They're good young players.
Yeah, it's amazing to look at that lineup and think, okay, is it, you know, is it mid-March in Florida? Because it's a bunch of the younger players, or suddenly it's the Memphis Redbirds up here in St. Louis playing against the Arizona, you know, Diamondbacks.
Middle of September when you're already, you know, mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, but I like the kids. I really do. And I think that's the future of this club. And that's the talent that this team has to build around. And it's only going to get better next year when Reyes is back, when Flaherty comes up. You know, they've got more coming. It's not just the kids who are here now. They're more on the way.
Which one of the kids has impressed you the most so far? Is it Paul DeJong?
Yeah. Yeah. He has just, you know, done terrific. I mean, it's 2 months ago today was his anniversary. It was his 2 month anniversary of his call up, his first home run in Denver. And you think, you know, how far he's come in 2 months is to where you know, he wasn't even a prospect, really. He wasn't in the system long enough to be a prospect. You know, less than 2 years after he was drafted in the fourth round, he's in the big leagues.
Do you think
big league in the regular and the shortstop and hitting third?
Do you think that he's, you know, got that kind of talent where he could potentially be a solid, if not all-star, Major League Baseball player? Or is it the fact that there's not a lot of film on him and he's kind of in that rookie honeymoon period where, hey, you know what, the pitchers haven't really figured him out yet, but once they do, he's in trouble?
Yeah, but I think he's now starting to make that second trip around the league where guys are starting to see him for his, you know, a second time. So we'll see what kind of adjustments he has to make. I'll tell you one thing, he's a smart hitter, smart individual, so I think, you know, he's going to understand that. We actually had a conversation today for a while. That's one of the things I was working on for a piece I'm going to run next week, and I think he's got it figured out. I mean, he knows what kind of player he is. He's not going to try to change, you know, other than what he has to change to adjust to hitters. You know, we talk about the whole walks and strikeouts thing. I mean, he understands that, you know, where his improvement in his game is going to come from. And I think he's the kind of guy who can do it. I really do.
This Molina Matheny beef, do you think it ends quickly, or do you think this is something that's going to linger?
I think it's going to change. I mean, I don't think it's going to linger, because I think it's just a matter of Mike probably realizing that he probably said a couple things that he probably shouldn't have said last night, as far as the stuff about Molina being tired. That was probably the whole just the problem. You know, I think he just sort of said, yeah, we want to give Kelly a shot. Good time to give Yadi a day off and let it go with that. Yes. So I think you're going to just see him be more careful with how they address it. And I think, you know, hopefully there'll be a better line of communication between the two of them when, you know, because Yadi's never going to want a day off. Remember, he started all 10 games of that homestand before the All-Star break. The five of them were day games. I mean, you know, and there was no day off in there. I mean, so he's never going to want a day off. So that's just something that Mike's going to have to realize and know that when he gives him a day off, Molina's not going to be happy.
So do you think that Mike Matheny's kind of learned that tired is maybe one of those key words that you can't use with your players? Kind of like, I mean, Rob, you're a married man. You know that if you tell your wife, honey, you look tired, you know that she's going to take that as, well, my husband just said I look terrible.
Yeah, I think he's got that message after last night, maybe.
Rob, we appreciate your time as always, sir. Have a great weekend. We hope to have you on again soon.
All right, anytime. Thanks.
Thanks, Rob. That is Rob Raines from STLSportsPage.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Rob Raines. I mean, I don't know. I think Matheny is kind of in trouble with this thing. He kept talking about changing the culture of the clubhouse. And if you had the players who were kind of lining up in a mutiny against the manager, what are you going to do? Trade all the players and keep the manager? I don't know, man. I understand that he's under contract, but it's not like he's got this big, huge, burdening contract. Just fire him.
Doesn't seem like the Cardinals really want to do that, do that?
Well, okay. This is uncharted territory, though, for them.
I mean, it is, but at the same time, we've heard wrinkles that there's a disconnect between Matheny and the locker room. This is 3 years now.
Yes.
We've heard rumblings of that. Now, this is easily the most obvious example of that, maybe aside from some of the Jason Hayward stuff, but I mean,
Hayward was kind of like
a little.
I think Hayward looked at the core the Cardinals had. We're trying to build around. Look what we were trying to do in Chicago, and he's like, yeah, you know what? The Chicago players are better than what the Cardinal players are. That's where I'm going to go. I mean, I think it was kind of like a business decision, kind of like playing Carson Kelly, you know, more in place of Yadier or Molina. This guy is going to be a replacement, and how many people are going to be responsive to that? If you're at your job and your boss comes up to you and said, "Oh, yeah, by the way, this good-looking kid here, he's your replacement eventually, so yeah, you two kids get along. Have fun." There aren't going to be too many people who are going to be happy with that. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Blake Topmeyer from the Columbia Daily Tribune. Talk a little Mizzou Tigers football. They picked up some pretty nice recruits. We're going to talk about that with Blake coming up next. That 590 show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.